The drawing on the board behind me is not a chicken nugget, as one of the children thought. So our time this morning is going to be spent in Colossians, the third chapter. Colossians 3, let's begin, though, in verse 2. Colossians 3, in verse 2. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. So let me read the English Standard Version. Let me change versions here. And let's see what that has to say. Set your mind on things above, not on things that are on earth. Set your mind on things above, not on things that are on the earth. Well, let's think about that this morning. You know, it's interesting because we read this in the book of Colossians, of course, obviously. But I think sometimes we might just say, well, that's just part of the text. But you know, it's really a command. Set your mind, all right, so that's a command. We have to do that. Set your mind on things that are above. Would you stop and think about it for just a moment? That command came from God the Father, to Jesus Christ the Son, to the Holy Spirit, to the Apostle, and then for us. So this actually becomes a very important statement. But one of the questions that we want to ask is, can this really be done? Set my mind on things above, not on things of the earth? Well, there are plenty of things on the earth that I need to think about. There is a bunch of stuff that I need to take care of. Nevertheless, God says, put your mind on things above, not on the earth. So he asks this question, can it be done? Look at verse 1, please. Colossians 3, verse 1. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. So that's a question. It begins with a question. It begins with the word if. And if you go back to chapter 2 and read the last portion of chapter 2, Paul is speaking against false religion and don't be worshiping angels and don't be doing a bunch of weird stuff. Just follow Jesus Christ and his doctrine. So then, Paul can make this statement in chapter 3 and verse 1. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Now, obviously, verse 2 follows that, but it flows right into what Paul is saying here. So we can think about these things that are above. Why? Because we have been raised with Jesus Christ. I turn your attention, please, to the book of Romans. Romans chapter 6, beginning in verse 3. Romans chapter 6 and verse 3. Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? If you have been baptized for the remission of your sins, you have been immersed in Jesus' death. You have died to the world and you are alive to Jesus Christ. Verse 4. We were buried, therefore, with him by immersion into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like this, or like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. So that's Paul's entry on baptism and the necessary aspect of baptism and what it does, how it affects us, how it is that we live about it. So in verse 1 of Colossians 3, we get back. If we've been raised, well, yeah, we've been raised. We were dead in the baptismal waters because we hadn't come to life yet. And then we were raised out of the baptismal waters to newness of life. We have a new life in Jesus Christ. Jesus said, if you love father or mother more than me, you're not worthy of me. If you love brother or sister more than me, you're not worthy of me. He also said, if you want to follow me, you've got to die to self, take up your cross, and follow me. That's what a Christian does. And you, most of you, 99% of you, have been baptized for the remission of your sins. So that makes you a Christian. You have a new life that you are living just this day. So can this be done? Absolutely. Now, look at verse 3 again. For you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Once again, we make that point. Can it be done? Well, yes. I live in Jesus Christ. Paul said in Galatians 5 and verse 20, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Jesus Christ who lives in of me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Philippians 3 talks about Paul emptying himself. His life was total trash. That's what he thought of his life before, about the things that he did before coming to Jesus. He thought now, as a Christian, he believed everything before was just trash. And he had lots of stuff going on for him. He would be one of those successful people in our world today. So, in this, we see that we have died and our life is hidden with Jesus Christ. All right, so how's that done? How is it that we are to set our mind on things above? All right. Verse 5. Colossians 3, verse 5. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you. Sexual immorality. Impurity. Do you know impurity is evil thoughts in the heart and in the mind? That makes one impure. If you have some evil thought intended in your mind, then you're being impure. Passion. If you have passion, undue passion for someone or something, that is not the way a Christian thinks. If you have evil desire, and it takes a good while for new Christians to get out of the world because they're still thinking about the things of the world, and it takes a while for them to come around this level of maturity, not on things that are on the earth. So, evil desire, covetousness, listen, covetousness, this great desire that I might have, is the same thing as idolatry. On account of these things, the wrath of God is coming. Pay attention now. If you're all about verse 5, if you find yourself in verse 5, you got to find yourself then in verse 6. If you find anything about yourself in verse 5, you're going to have to weather God's wrath as shown in verse 6. Think about that for a moment. If my mom has wrath, she might beat me. If my dad has wrath, he might beat me. If the teacher had wrath, back in grade school, they beat you. I was the principal's pet because I was in the office so much. She whipped me once or twice, but nevertheless. So whatever you give yourself to, that's what you're going to find out. So if you find yourself in verse 5, then you got to change your life. I mean, like right here and now. Because if you die within the next moment, and that's possible, sometimes our heart just gives right out. If that's the situation, then I think I'd want to be pure of all of these things. I'd want to get rid of verse 5 so I don't have to face verse 6. So this is the how of what we're doing. On account of these things, the wrath of God is coming. In these, you once too walked. When you were living in them. But now, you must put away anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. How many of you say obscene things throughout the week? Does that happen? Do you do that? Do you say ugly words, curse words? You know, a lot of people say, I've heard young people and Christians say this, they still use the phrase, oh my God. Did you know that's sinful? That is blasphemy because you're calling upon God's name and it's not a sincere call. If you're calling on God to help you or to help you in some situation, that's applicable. That's fine. But if you just, you stub your toe and you say, oh my God, you drop your book, oh my God, That's curse words. That's obscenity. And you can't continue to do that. You've got to get rid of that sort of thing. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, obscene talk from your mouth. Don't lie to one another. Has anybody lied this week? If you had a need to lie, why do people lie? Because they don't want to lose face. They don't want to be embarrassed. Or they don't want to be caught at the things that they've done that are not right. And so if I steal somebody's lunch money at school and I lie about it, how many sins is that? Two. If I lie about somebody out on the playground, for example, what is that? That's a lie. That's sin. You've heard probably teachers and parents say, don't be tattletales. Kind of sort of goes along with what I just said. Don't worry about somebody else unless they're in immediate danger. Just take care of your own business in your own life, moment by moment. And that's what we're talking about. Keep your mind on things above. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. So this is the how of things. We want to please God because we are Christians, and we desire to live a godly life because we are Christians. That word Christian, Christ, I-A-N, change it to Christ, I-A-M. Christ, I am. I am a follower of Jesus Christ. I am a Christian. I'm going to do what my Lord says. I'm going to follow what He says. He's going to teach me what He wants me to know through the Word. And I'm going to follow through with that. I'm going to try to be growth and maturity in the things that we see within the Word. This is the how of keeping our mind on things above. All right, so you're sitting there at work, perhaps. Maybe you've got a sit-down job. Maybe you've got a computer job. Maybe you're a salesperson. I don't know. Whatever the case may be. Maybe you're sitting down there. And your mind on the details of your job. Think about this. When your mind breaks, you know, because you're not, it's like 100% in that all the time. So when your mind takes a mental break, even if it's for a second, say, thank you, Father. Thank you for all the good that's in me. In the second century, I think it was, there was one noted Christian who was to be burned at the stake. And they offered him a chance to worship the emperor rather than Jesus. And his answer was, the Lord has been good to me all my life. Why would I now decant my belief? He burned at the stake because he had that much trust, that much faith, that much desire to be in Jesus Christ. And as he was, he did. All right, so the reward, I want you to see verse 4. I want you to see verse 4. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. Now, is that something that you want? You will have a share in Jesus' glory. Now, think about that. He's sitting at the right hand of God in glory, and he's glorious. You remember in Matthew 17, the transfiguration where he just was beaming light that guys couldn't look at, those three disciples. And that's kind of sort of the idea of glory. Number one, you give praise and honor to one who is glorified. Number two, you see their glory. You see how awesome that they are within all of existence. That's what we are going to share when we get to heaven. How would you like to shine for eternity? I know heaven. We get to go to heaven, and there's nothing there that hurts us. There's nothing there that's going to make us cry. There's no death. There's no dying there. God's going to wipe away every tear from our eye. God's going to take care of us. He's going to give us life eternal. And so we live moment by moment in heaven. We got that. But to share in Jesus' glory, how awesome. How mighty that would be. What a reward for saints who've kept the faith, who've followed Jesus Christ, through all of the things that this world has to offer. It is a scary, scary thought. It's overwhelming. It's like, I can't imagine it. I can't see it in my mind's eye. That's too big a thought. You know, God is bigger than the universe. I can say that. We've said that before, and you know that. But think about it for just a moment. If God is bigger than the universe, and he sent his son to die on the cross for us, out of all the planets, out of all the moons that exist in the universe, God sent his son to earth for the opportunity of being reconciled to God and living eternally in heaven. That's worth just about of it all. Take a look at Romans chapter 5, please. Romans chapter 5 and verse 5. Romans chapter 5 and verse 5. It says, hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Now, let me give you this example. If you're a Houston Texans fan and you hope that they're going to win this playoff game, and then you want them very much to do that, but they let you down, they didn't win, that hope is kind of shattered, isn't it? And the Cowboys, how many people have faith in the Dallas Cowboys these days? Like, zip, right? They haven't won any kind of playoff in years. They haven't made it deep into the playoffs in a long time. They haven't won a Super Bowl in 30 years. So you hope for the best, but then you're deflated every season because they just do not cross that bridge to success. That hope is shattered. And people make fun of you. If you say, oh, I'm a Dallas Cowboys fan, people laugh at you because you got such a rotten team. Your hope is broken. People are laughing at you because you have that hope. But that's not true with Jesus. Jesus gives you true hope. Jesus gives you true hope that you are going to heaven and he will absolutely never, ever let you down. Jesus is your path to glory. So in that, we've got to believe that that's the case and understand that God loves us beyond our imagination. Verse 8 of Romans chapter 5, God shows his love for us in that while we were still enemies of God, sinners, that's the word, but that's what that is, before we are baptized to have our sins removed, washed away, we are enemies of God. Why? Because I lie, because I steal, because I say obscene words, because I do things that are considered sinful. And the wages of sin is death. I read that in the scriptures. And so if the wages of sin is death, and I've been sinning, it seems like I ought to do something about that. If, according to the parable of the sower, you've got a good heart to accept Jesus' word and act on it, to follow him, to do the things that God would want us to do. So God shows his love. I could call out every person's name. I could call out Eric there and say, you know, Eric, God loves you even when you are still a sinner. God loves you. Christ died for us. Eric, Jesus died for you. And if I had my finger pointing at every person in here, and if I had the time to go by name of every Christian that's in here, I could say the exact same thing. Christ Jesus died for you. Now, we might not really think too much of that. That may not be a big deal, you know, to some of us, because it's kind of we see that all the time in scriptures, all about Bible class teachers say the same sort of thing. We get that in the adult Bible class. Jesus died for us. Yeah, I know that. That's old information. So that's not anything that I really need to pay attention to, because I've got that. I've got that down. It's just not true. You ever known of a child, toddler, who had wandered out into the street and her car was about to run him down, and mom came out, pushed him out of the way, even though she got hit by a car and died. You ever heard that story? It's true. It happens all the time. Same thing with dads. My son was about to fall off the cliff, and I reached down, and as it did, I got unlevel, and I fell off. I saved my son, but I died. Stuff happens all the time. So would you, moms, give your life for your children? Would you die for them? If they were in some sort of danger, would you give your life for them? What if your children got caught up in drugs? That's not something that you can just handle right there immediately. It takes a lot of professional work and a lot of care by moms. Would you go the mile with your children knowing that they are throwing their lives away and if they've done ugly, incredibly ugly things to you? Do you still love them enough to try to get them well? What about Jesus? As you exist on this earth, Jesus died for your heart, your mind, your spirit, and your body. Because you were an ugly sinner and God wanted you in heaven anyway. But that can't happen unless there was a perfect sacrifice, the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. So that's the things that we have thought about this morning. Set your mind on things above? Well, absolutely. If you explain things that way to me, yeah, I'm going to think about things above. I'm going to try to keep it on my mind all the time. In fact, I'm going to let that be a guiding light in my life. I would rather think about those things than the cruddy stuff, ugly stuff, nasty stuff of the world. Wouldn't you rather do that? You don't want your mind in the garbage of the world, do you? You want your mind on the beautiful things of Jesus, God, the Holy Spirit, and heaven. Therefore, if you have a need this morning, spiritually, if you've been guilty of sin, you've been baptized, but you are guilty of sin, or for those who have not been baptized and you need to be baptized, please, please come forward and talk to me. I beg you, please come forward and talk to me as we stand in